Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life behind the scenes of a YouTube creator on the 4th of June 2025. Terry Scott there from Terry and June. I am actually sitting in my van. It's about 6:15 in the morning, and I've crept out of bed. Excuse me, playing my hooter, leaving Julia semi-asleep. She knows I'm up. We've got to nip out today and early somewhere, so I didn't want to wake her because I've got a couple of things to do. Such as one is record The Naked Englishman, so I've got up early to record this. And rather than do it in the house and be a mumbling voice in the background, preventing her from sleeping, I thought, well, I'll just come into the van and then I can talk. Bear with me.
You're right there.
Ah, you're there. I can't open it. Oh, I thought I'd come in here so I didn't disturb you.
Oh, well.
Are you disturbed?
Yes.
Oh, I'll come back in the house. No worries.
I wondered what you were up to.
Poor old Julia. She thought, what the hell is he doing? Oh, there you are. You see, I thought that was funny. I thought someone had crept up to the van. And it was. Anyway, so she's up. Right, let's go in the house then. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to get... She just shut the door on me. It is a relatively nice day out there. Right, hang on a minute. I'm going to put my... Oh, well, I can do that in a minute. Put the table down and make it transport-wise okay. Anyway, that's all the fun of the fair, isn't it? That's what happens in real life. Things... Go on. Right. Oh, I would have made Julia a cup of tea. But never mind. There we go. Right, let's lock up the old van. Again, what a contrast today. The weather is from yesterday. Yesterday we had rain. It was cold in the morning. And... put that on there whilst I shut the gate. And windy. And it was grey, grim. Today, at whatever it is, 6:30 nearly, very still. Do you want me to make you a cup of tea? Oh. And, so it's... looks like it's going to be a nice day, which will be good. Ah, oh, you must have thought, where's he gone?
Yes, I did.
I thought you'd gone back to...
What's louder than being loud?
What's louder?
Silence.
Oh.
It's pretty loud.
Yes. Well, when there's no other noise to disguise everything, I guess that's the case. I'm just going to open this window a bit, if you don't mind. Get some fresh air in it. I must remember to shut it there. There you are. I have done Naked Englishman's in the past. Is that a stone?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. I'm holding a stone of Julia's, which is... well, you get both sides of it, don't you? You get the rough rock formation of it, and then this very lovely polished crystal.
Facets come to a point.
And it's almost a pyramid shaped, but it's got more sides than a pyramid.
I think they call it a focus point.
Ah.
It's a blue agate, that one.
A blue?
Agate.
Agate.
Yeah, but now I've got it because I bought it sight unseen.
Yeah.
And I can now see why it was much cheaper.
Oh, why is that?
Because it's not a great one. It's just that little bit of blue. The rest of it just looks like quartz, really.
Oh, I
but
see.
But it's still lovely. And it still has the properties I wanted.
So. Oh, good.
But I shan't buy sight unseen again.
No.
Lesson learned.
Oh, was it expensive?
No, that's why I bought it, because it was 50% off.
Right. Yeah, but it wasn't quite what you wanted.
But like I discovered with these ones have defects where from during manufacture. Just don't drop it. They definitely have defects there.
Yes, these are. What's that pink one? These are. What do you call them? Precious stones.
Semi-precious stones.
Semi-precious.
Well, they're precious to me, but
yes.
In general, they're called semi-precious. That one is rose. All the information has just fled my brain.
Yes, early in the morning, isn't it? That's the thing.
It's rose quartz.
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 Yeah, pink in colour.
Yeah. And then that one's a fluorite.
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 Oh, fluorite. Yes.
Yes, it's not fluoride. Don't worry. I'm not going to put it anywhere near your water. In fact, even if I did, it wouldn't do anything.
No, I'm sure. I'm just going to move the microphone a bit closer. Well, there you are. So, interesting. And you've got quite a little collection here for semi-precious stones.
Yeah, I do.
Whilst you're here, you had a terrible day yesterday. Well, not terrible, terrible, but it was just arduous.
Yeah, my day was wrapped up in caring for a friend.
A friend had to have a operation. She thought she was having it in Worthing Hospital, only to discover almost at the last minute it was St. Richard's in Chichester, which is, as the crow flies, half an hour away, as the traffic decides, can be anything from an hour away.
Yeah.
And so she asked you in a panic, would you take her to the hospital?
Yeah, I mean, I had agreed to go and pick her up from the hospital after the operation. That was, but I thought it was in Worthing.
Yeah.
And then I had the phone call from her late, when she was, sitting at Worthing Hospital in tears because she'd messed up. And she was, 23 miles out of location.
Yeah, so you had to pick her up from Worthing Hospital and then swiftly, as fast as you can, take her down to the other one so she could have this procedure.
Actually took about 53 minutes to get there in the end.
So, yeah, that's not ideal, is it?
Well, it's almost as much time as it would take to get to my parents' house in Fareham.
Yeah, which is double the distance. The traffic was just horrendous. Mind you, the weather wasn't great, was it? I was just saying how awful it was.
Oh, yeah, it was drizzly, rainy, all
windy.
All the way. And there's so many idiots on the road.
Yes. And then, having done that, you came home. You came
cooked dinner for
cooked
the boys.
Dinner. You did actually come here, and we did a little bit of work on the book.
Because I knew I wouldn't get the time later on.
No, and then a couple of hours later, you were back in the car heading back against the traffic.
Yeah, I had to take the little one on the that journey.
And you had to go do it. So
are we there yet, Mum? Are we there yet?
No, darling, we're not yet. We're not yet there. When you see her getting in the car, we're there.
Yes. Well, it must have been very frustrating. And doing that journey. I mean, it is only half an hour, you know. And
well, it should be, but it did almost take,
the traffic.
Like an hour and a half to get back.
When I think about the times I used to, I've got two thoughts here colliding.
Oh dear.
When I think about the times that I used to drive around doing the corporate stuff, some 10, and the entertainment stuff some 10, 20 years ago, and you think, well, I thought the roads were busy then, and then you compare that with now, you know, you used to think, oh, bomb over to Chichester, and it used to take 25 minutes, but just bomb over there, bomb back, more or less any time, apart from just, let's say, at the rush hour, and it was easy. Same with most of the journeys from 10 to 20 years ago. Then I think of the conversations I used to have with my dad, and this is where the two ideas were sort of collided, or two thoughts collided. And he used to say exactly the same to me, and he says, my goodness, and these are conversations I would have had 10, 20 years ago, and he'd said, the roads are so busy, I hate them. And he said, when I was, 10, 20 years earlier than that, so 40, 50 years ago, he said the roads were so clear, there was barely anything on it. He said it did take time because you didn't have so many motorways and roads went through towns. They didn't have bypasses when he thinks of that. But he said, given all of that, and of course, you're talking about cars in the era of Morris Travellers and Austin 40s and things like that. Triumph Heralds, you know, all those sort of cars, top speed, 50, 60 miles an hour, that sort of thing. And he said, but it was just nicer because there was less people on the roads.
Fewer
people on the roads. And now we have this huge quantity buzzing about. And it is irritating in one fashion that there's part of me that agrees with this one world government's view of get people off the roads, as long as it's not me, you know. And
get zombies off the road, yeah.
And that's the thing. And I don't mean that to sound the way it did. It's just that you can understand, like so many things, because they've been designed to the whole of their outlook has been designed to sound sensible. You know, get people off the road. Fair enough. Sounds all right. 15-minute city sounds all right, doesn't it? If you've got everything within a 15-minute city. And then you think back 100, 150 years ago, villages were effectively those 15-minute cities. People had everything they needed within roughly 15 minutes within their little village or their town.
And very rarely did they leave it.
And rarely did they leave it, so there was nobody on the road. And so on the face of it, it all sounds very good. But in this world in which we've had families split and people have had to have their employment at long distances, of course, all of that is gone out the window, so that it is totally impractical for any of those things to really exist. The 15-minute city of today, that concept, which sounds all right in principle, but if you haven't got the employment within your 15-minute city, what are you going to do? Are you forced into some employment that you don't want to do, that doesn't tickle your boxes, and that your skill set is not designed for, or you'll have a higher than average skill set, so you don't want to work in a supermarket, for example, locally. And if your family, of course, is not within your normal distance, then why should you not be allowed to go and see them? Oh, well, you know, you can go on a train or you can go on a bus, which will be what they'll say, although they'd rather you didn't travel at all. But don't worry about that. They're going to kill them off anyway. So you haven't got a problem. That seems to be the mindset of these globalists that have painted the picture with their 17 sustainable goals, which actually, again, on the face of it, sound like, oh yeah, common sense, but actually when you realise what they mean by these things, actually it's a lot more sinister and evil. But coming back to today, and the roads system, it is a problem, but it won't be a problem for long because so many people are dying because they lined up for the suicide jab. And, I mean, that's a huge shame. And a lot of them are just crashing because they lined up for the suicide jab and they're driving around as madmen, as a lot of people do. And it's almost becoming a bit like that film Mad Max on the road with people just zombie driving, as you said. Not quite as extreme as that yet.
No, but far too close for reality to be comfortable.
And then you have the infrastructure that the administration, the Big Brother administration, of shoving in, so that 1 mile an hour over a certain limit, that's it.
You have sinned.
You've sinned, you find, there's no redress, money is taken out of you. I mean, that's why they want the digital currency, because they can then just take the money without any argument. You can take the money first and they say, well, you can complain afterwards. We don't listen to complaints or comply with any complaints, by the way, but you can complain. But we've already got your money. We've got your sweat equity.
Sweat equity.
Sweat equity. So the idea is, of course, to dumb the audience, the population even further, and make them so compliant they cannot possibly rise up and change anything. However, the bad news for the bad guys is, of course, this isn't going to happen. Might have happened in China, where they've had a repressive system in place for generations. But it's not going to happen over here because we haven't had such a repressive... we've been slaves to the 9-to-5, to the hamster wheel. We've been lied to about what life is about the fact that things are not abundant when they really are. We have felt that we have to go to work, and we've fallen into this trap. Yes, that's true. The trap of
tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen.
Yeah, that one. Of training our children to be basically wage slaves, and to think, you know, and so that therefore only a few can aspire to the sort of things they want to do. And even then, you aspire to be a film star or something like that, you sell your soul to the devil. The only way you can succeed in any of these artistic industries to, you know, great fame and fortune. Not that I think that's advisable, to be honest with you. It's all overrated. Fame is overrated. Who wants to be trapped as a prisoner? It's a trap. It's another trap. If you're too famous, you can't walk down the town without bodyguards. You can't go anywhere incognito. You can't do anything that you just want to do, like an ordinary person, nip into a pub and have a pint, because everybody will be crawling all over you. And Julia and I know what that's like within the circles that we inhabit, in as much as if it's a Freedom event and we turn up, those people, you know, fans of the show, they start to act like, film star fans or music fans, and some of them, all sense of politeness goes out the window as they come barging over to interrupt, and you start to see, crikey, if this is in a very tiny way what it's like to be famous, no thank you. And fortune is just equally a trap, because when you can have everything, you lose your aspirations. You might do for a while and, you know, buy your yacht and do this, but you become lazy. You can buy everything you need. You don't have to work for anything. And then you think of all these film stars and these musicians who have started to take drugs, and or prostitutes, or ladyboys, or, the whole gamut of sexual deprivation. There we are. Because they can't get their kicks from just normal things like reading or walking in the country. And of course they can't just walk in the country unless it's their own bought and paid for private gated piece of the country, which they've probably walked around enough and lost interest in. So the extremes of those fame and fortune is really not worth having. It's an illusion painted by the dark forces to tempt you to think that the material world and basically it is all material world stuff is what we're all aiming for, you know, even though it's the carrot that's always out of reach of the donkey. And therefore, it's a lie. And actually, the world that means more is the world that these famous people, and indeed the dark forces, cannot themselves achieve. And that is the small, nuclear, quiet family that is wrapped around with love for each other and is underrated by the majority of people, and that is simple, still, joyous, happy, laughing, fun, spontaneous you know, all that sort of stuff is actually what, and creative stuff in a way that is not affecting other people or affecting people in a positive way that the others can't get. And I think the problem is that the dark forces and the famous and all of these people generally are actually jealous of the likes of you and me. And you think, well, that's a stupid statement, Richard. How could they be jealous of somebody scrimping and saving and trying to pay all the bills? Ah, well, forget that side of it. They're not jealous of that. But they're jealous of the freedom. They're jealous that one can go into a pub. Or they're jealous that you could just make friends very easily without anybody thinking, oh, you're after my money. They're jealous that you're anonymous, that you can, you know, as some people do, may have flights of fancy and do all sorts of things on the cuff and nobody need know about it. It's not going to be read about in the papers or on the news. There's no news people following you around. You're free to fall in love with whomever you like without the rest of the world scrutinising everything. You're free to get up and look dishevelled and go to the newsagent and buy a bottle of milk without being photographed. I think they are, in some way, jealous of us in our quiet, normal, everyday lives, but they're not prepared to relinquish what they have because they're too used to and probably too addicted to their high-end way with helicopters, yachts, prostitutes, drugs, bodyguards, everything done for them. I mean, you know, they're so parasitic, they can't do anything for themselves. Everything has to be done. There's no personal joy anymore. Then perhaps actors, some of these famous actors or singers who do manage to, the only thing they've got is perhaps their one skill that they've been put on the pedestal for, and that's their own satisfaction. But what about everything else? So anyway, that's my opinion. So how are we doing on time? Because I've got to be careful. We've got to go out. Oh, yeah, so I've rambled on a bit. Any thoughts you want to add to that? Julia's shaking her head.
Still waking up.
So there we are. Anyway. That's another load of old nonsense off my mind. To face the day. Well, catch up with you hopefully tomorrow. I was just having a stretch. Oh. And I wish you well. I hope you have a lovely day and that you can achieve things today that you haven't been able to achieve yesterday, and that you can take some time to be on your own, to be still, to meditate, to think, and to have a wonderful time. Until the next one, thank you for listening. Toodle-pip.